Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It is a privilege, a great honor, once more to be able to join you on today's daily devotion, and I pray that something can be said that would be a benefit unto His people. Yesterday, we started with the Bible verse in Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2, and we will go back to that again today. Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the word of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. While we recognize in the ministry of Jesus Christ that he would use many parables, and it is the fulfillment of this scripture in Psalm 78, the dark sayings are the scriptures before the Lord shines a light on it. Once God shines a light upon the scripture and we see it, it becomes very simple. But until that point in time, we really can't understand. Some things are waiting for a certain point in time before God opens it up to anyone. Others, it's the timing to a point in our own personal life and the time in our life. I think most of us can remember a time when you heard something preached or you read something that seemed to make the scripture come alive to you. It was a revelation. It was an understanding. And what we understand it, it is the voice of God. And God is speaking into us to open up our understanding. He is shining a light upon our pathway. This week, we're speaking about parables. And we want to go today into Luke chapter 15 and verse 3. It says this. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, yesterday in the parable, the Lord would deal with the attitude of the Pharisees towards the sinners. We will see the same thing spoken about here also. Key at this time, he would speak three different parables. I remember when Joseph appeared before Pharaoh and he told him about the dreams he had. He said, there are two dreams, but the dreams are one. Two different dreams, but they were speaking about the same thing that was coming. God just giving them multiple opportunities to understand as the dreams link together. In this scripture, the three parables, it speaks about a sheep, a coin, and a son. And it speaks about the value of all three of these. In Luke 15 and verse 1, it says this, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. In these parables, the publicans and sinners are the sheep, they are the coin, and they are the prodigal son. And every one, their condition is the same. They are lost. And then we also want to see there is a response to the condition that we find the sheep, the coin, and the son in. In Luke 15 and verse 4, it says this, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? If we drop down to verse 8, it says this, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And then in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What we see is the response of the shepherd, the woman, and the father. The shepherd would seek after the lost sheep. The woman would seek after the lost coin. But in the parable of the father, he is waiting. But there is a longing for return. When we read verse 20, it says this, when he was yet a great way off, it lets us understand this, the father had been watching. Although he let the son go, there was this desire, this longing for the son to come back. So he was watching. And not only was he watching, that once he saw him, he took off running to him to meet him on his journey back. All three of these were an expression of the love of the shepherd, the love of the woman, and the love of the Father. What we see in each and every one of them is there is a time of rejoicing. in verse 6, it says, "And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." So the man that had lost the sheep was so overjoyed with finding it that he called his friends and his neighbors, and he wanted them to rejoice with him. And we understand this, that the friends and neighbors would rejoice with him. In verse 9, it said, "When she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost." So you can see that the gathering or the finding of the what was lost caused such a great joy that there was a desire that others would rejoice with them. And then in verse 23, "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. So with the sheep, it is the friends and the neighbors. With the coin, it is the friends and the neighbors. And with the son, it is they begin to be merry. And who is the they? It is his servants. But this probably included his friends and neighbors too. No doubt when he prepared this banquet, it wasn't just for the ones there with him, but that he would call out to his friends and neighbors to come rejoice with him over his son that was lost and is now found. In each and every one, we see there is a rejoicing with the one who had suffered the loss. Okay, so even though the people hadn't suffered the loss, they were overjoyed at overjoyed for the blessing upon the person that had been restored what he had lost. There's a key in this. In the sheep, the coin, and the son, these people had not lost anything, but they still rejoiced with the shepherd, the woman, and the father. In verse 7, it says this, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." He is taking a spiritual application, and really that's the purpose of a parable, to take a parable, to take a natural application and see what is taking place in the spiritual realm. What he's saying, that even as the ones would come and rejoice over the lost sheep, that in heaven they would rejoice over a sinner that was found. When we come to verse 10 in the coin, it says this, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." It repeats this saying to allow us to know in the spiritual realm, even as the natural with the coin and the friends are rejoicing over the good fortune of the woman, in heaven people are rejoicing over the fact that the father has brought home one of his children. When we come to the son, it never mentions this point about the angels in heaven rejoicing, but it leads us to believe that the same thing could be said because the three of them all tie together. So I believe we could actually insert this part and not be going against the scripture. "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Now, let us go back to the start of this chapter and look at who the audience is. It is a large crowd, and it is including tax collectors, sinners, Pharisees, and teachers of the law. What we see in verse 2 is very interesting. "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Take this into context. As Jesus began speaking to the crowd, the Pharisees began grumbling about the sinners that Jesus associated with. Like we said yesterday, it is the attitude of the ones that are living according to the law unto the ones that are living below the standards of the law. I'd read this while I was studying, and I thought it was interesting. It says, while this parable is famously known as the story of the prodigal son, it's really a parable about the older brother. Who is the older brother? It's the scribes and the Pharisees, and they are the ones that he was speaking to in this parable. Verse 28 tells us something, and he was angry and would not go in. This is the climax of these stories. This is the only time someone becomes angry, yet it is the greatest story of redemption, the value of a soul. What we read with the sheep, when it's found, they all rejoice. With the coin, they all rejoice. With the son, there is a great rejoicing, but the older son is not rejoicing. He is angry. And as we may already mention, who is the older son in this parable? It is the Pharisees. That's who all these stories are speaking to. The older son, okay? This parable, it not only speaks of God's tender love for the lost, but it's also a rebuke to the Pharisees who resent the sinners and tax collectors gathering around Jesus. In verse 32, we read this, "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." In the other parables, what we see is it was not their sheep, it was not their coin. In this one, it is not his son, but it is thy brother. To the older, excuse me. In this one parable, the older brother, he has a connection to the one that was lost. It is his brother. The publican sinners are their brothers. When we read this story, Jesus ends the story here and doesn't tell us anything more. But the story is speaking about something. It's speaking about the scribes and the Pharisees and their view of the publicans and sinners, the people that were living below the standards of the law. Some years ago, Brother Oliveira was in Bloomington and he asked the question, what was the end of the story? What was the response of the older brother? Did he join the rejoicing or did he go on angry? And the answer, and it really, I think it gives us great insight to what the Lord was saying. He said this, the answer is he rose up and killed his father. Now, when I say that, a person can say, well, how do you get this out of the story? If the older brother are the Pharisees, it was the father that had lost his son. But what happened when the Pharisees saw what was taking place? It made him angry. So angry, they remained angry and killed Jesus. And Jesus is not the father, but Jesus is the one who had came in his father's name. If they would reject Jesus, they actually reject the father. So the Lord is allowing us to look deeper into this, that what's going to happen, the Pharisees will never rejoice over the sinners coming and listening to Jesus. It will always remain a point of contention with them. They will always despise, like we said yesterday, the publicans. And in the end, the one that would come in the Father's name, they would take him and hang him on a cross and crucify him. I think when I see this, I think, oh my, the Lord allows us to look deeper. Many see the great love that the Father has for the lost, and we rejoice over that. That is an important part of the story. But when we look deeper, we recognize that this story too was a rebuke to the Pharisees, their self-righteousness, and their hypocrisy, and their view of sinners. I believe it is a time of rejoicing for us to know of the Father's great love for us, but it is also once more an admonition to us that we should have a desire for those that were lost, and that we should rejoice, even as there is rejoicing in heaven when God would bring one of these people unto himself. I believe it's a beautiful story. I believe there's much to it. I believe at times we've not looked at the whole picture, but at that point in time, the Lord was really giving insight, insight into people, insight into attitudes, really an insight into the very heart of mankind. We will continue on tomorrow. We'll continue on tomorrow, and we'll look at another parable. I pray this has been a blessing. May God bless your day. We love you in Christ Jesus. Amen.